I would invite you to take a Bible and turn with me to Psalm 113. In the Pew Bible, it's on page 529. Psalm 113. As we think this morning about praising God in our need. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time on and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and His glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who is seated on high, who looks far down on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap, to make them sit with princes of His people. He gives the barren woman a home, making her the joyous mother of children. Praise the Lord. We were walking through the store, trying to slip past the toy department. I know when you've got a child with you, it's impossible, right? Actually, we were a couple of aisles over, but Sydney knew where that place was. And she said, "Wait a minute, we need to go over there." "No, not today, Sydney," I said. "But Granddoc, I need to show you something." After two more rounds of trying to reason with a nearly five-year-old, of course, we went into the labyrinth, also known as the children's toy department. 15 minutes later, and we were fortunate it was only 15 minutes later, but 15 minutes later, instead of only one thing, as Grand Mary had told her, we were about to exit the maze of toys when she spotted another item. We'd already been through several, but "I want this, I want that." She picked it up and turned around and said, "I want this one too." "Only one item, Sydney," said Grand Mary. See, I wasn't the only pushover. "But I want both of them, Sydney," Grand Mary said. "Only one. You have to decide, and we need to go." "But I need both of them. I really, really do." And you'll never guess what happened after that. Yeah, she left with both. Well, you know, I need to fulfill my grandparent duty adequately. Spoiling, right? So, but she left with both. Those things that she didn't just want, but "I need them." Now, she really didn't need them. She has more toys than she can handle. But, yeah, you are a grandparent. And that's a true story, and it's played out more than one time in the last few years. The only thing is, when the next one comes along with David and Kristen, there will be a point out there where we will be tag-teamed. And I'm not sure that we can handle that. But now I want us to do something together after we've had a laugh, because some of y'all have been there too. But I want us to do something together. I want you to take a moment and look at those that are seated beside you. Seriously, turn around and look at those seated beside you. Those seated behind you. And the people seated in front of you. And yes, there are some in the balcony. And they're all sitting up. every person in this room has needs. Every person in this room has needs. They may not be the need for toys. Well, some of us still have a need for toys, right? Shotguns, rifles, trucks, cars, purses, shoes. They may not be the need for toys, but there are real needs in this place. Perhaps a need of food, money to pay an overdue bill, money to get that much needed prescription, a visit just to talk, a kind word instead of a harsh one, maybe just a smile instead of a scowl. Or perhaps something even more serious. Maybe a renewal of a dry spirit. There is not one of us that does not have a true need somewhere in our lives, even at this moment. And the good news is that not only do we have God, but we have each other in that need, if we will but step up. And there are many times and situations when we really don't feel like praising God because we're hurting, because we're confused, because we're in need. In fact, oftentimes we are better at telling God or reminding God of what we think we need than we are about reflecting and listening and waiting on God with that confidence that God is there and already knows that need and is working in some way. But we do need to also reflect on who God truly is and what God supplies. And how He gives His chesed, that wonderful Hebrew word that means steadfast love, in our lives, sometimes most poignantly in our need. Think for a moment. Even on the dark night when Jesus was betrayed, when He was in desperate need, and when those disciples later fell asleep, even on that night, He joined with His disciples in singing a hymn of praise, even out of need, as they prepared to leave the upper room to go to the Garden of Gethsemane, where He knew He would be betrayed, and where He knew that if He followed through with what was necessary, He would die a horrible death. Now that hymn, as we have said before, at the end of communion, would have come somewhere from Psalms 113 to 118. The Psalms that are called Hallel Psalms. Hallel comes from the Hebrew Hillel, which means to praise. It means to praise. And guess what word we get from Hallel? Anyone? Hallelujah. Somebody knew it. Hallelujah. Praise Yah, which is a shortened Yahweh. Praise Yahweh, the Most High God. I am who I am. As one writer states, and I quote, that as we are reminded again and again, there is a note running throughout the Old Testament scriptures and finding its climax in the New Testament. The Bible is a Catholic, and we're talking small c Catholic. That word means universal. The Bible is a Catholic book representing many needs and many moods. But one might quote as characteristic of the whole the angel's song at the Nativity. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. There are times needed for silence. There are times needed for penitence and confession. Yet no worship is likely to meet our common need, and none corresponds with a biblical tradition unless it gives adequate place for remembering and for praise. End of quote. In other words, no worship that we offer. If we don't take time to reflect upon God and praise God, offer hallel, praise to God, even in the middle of our need, no worship service can satisfy anything that we need. Think about Israel's history. Think about Israel's struggles. When you do, you probably, if you really think about them, would not expect to find so much spiritual exuberance as Israel has, especially as displayed in the Psalms. Even Psalm 22, which is the most desolate of all of the Psalms, quoted in part by Jesus on the cross, my God, why have you forgotten me? Why are you so far away from the sound of my groanings? Ends with the assurance that even in the middle of his need, God is and God is there. An Old Testament theologian writes, quote, the answer is that if the Hebrew had no extravagant faith in men, he had an enduring confidence in God. There are theologies of many kinds, but the most important is theocentric, a faith for life centered in a God who lives and rules and saves. End of quote. And this can, I would suggest, bring us to praise especially when we are in need. This particular psalm that was read a few moments ago begins with the leader basically preaching to the choir. And I think that's what I'm doing today. Not just the choir here. I'm preaching to the choir, myself included, about needs and praising God even in those needs. He urges the chorus of singers to sing out, praise the Lord, praise, O servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. A threefold call to praise. And as we've talked about before, the number three is extremely important in Hebrew numerology, representing the omnipotence, the omniscience, the omnipresence of God. It's all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present. But also, he calls on them to praise the name of the Lord. Name spoke of essence. Name spoke of the character of the one that was so named. And so he's calling on them to think and to reflect upon God and upon God's character at this time, even in their need. In verses 2 through 4, the choir, and as I've already alluded to, I would suggest we're all part of the choir in this instance. The choir responds with affirmations about God. Affirmations that they've acquired through history, through their history, and through remembering not only their history as a people, but their individual history, their individual experiences with God. God is praised forever because, as they say, He is from the rising of the sun to its setting. That is, from beginning to end. And not just of the day, but from beginning to end, because God is, and God is light from beginning to end. Also, these singers, these worshipers together, affirm that God is supreme, not just over Israel, but God is supreme over all people, over any and all nations, and over all the heavens. One of the interesting things in Hebrew is that rarely is the term for heaven used in the singular. There were a lot of different philosophies in the world at that time, and people talked about different levels of heaven. Even Paul in the New Testament says that he was caught up into the third level of heaven at one point in time, which is based on his Jewish experience as a Pharisee, being raised that way. But it's also a statement from the Hebrews that God is not just God over one little part of the universe. God is God above and over everything that exists. And therefore, God is with them, and because of this and His glory, we need not fear our needs. We need not fear our needs. We can be concerned, but we need not fear them to the point that we're paralyzed and we lose faith. And I know sometimes that's a lot easier said than done. But here in this Hallelujah Psalm, the writer reminds us of God's supremacy over all the nations. Even those who do not recognize Him, He is still above them. But this doesn't mean that He is arbitrary or capricious and does things just out of a whim. Verses 5 through 9 remind us, as they are sung by this choir, each of whom had his or her own needs, eating away and tugging at their hearts and their spirits. We find these verses speak of the grand majesty of the Lord. And by the way, the word that was used there was in the Hebrew was Yahweh. I am who I am. I am what I am, and I will be what I will be. A Lord who is supreme, yet who concerns Himself with the life and with the needs of persons. Not just peoples, but individual persons as well. The Lord is incomparable, seated on high, yet who looks far down upon the earth. Literally in the Hebrew, it reads, who makes low in order to see. Meaning that this great Lord, who is over all the heavens and all the universe, humbles Himself enough to look, to make Himself low and look. Of course, the ultimate example of that is the incarnation, when God dared to become one of us. This magnificent Lord cannot and does not act contrary to Himself and to His nature and to His purpose, and that is love for His creation. The text says, He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. we've talked in our last Sunday night in the pressure points study about partiality and how within the church at that particular point in time, James, to which James was writing, there were people who would see someone who was gold-fingered, wearing gold rings. Literally the word is gold-fingered. Showing status. And preference would be given there, and yet someone who wasn't so highly thought of or well-dressed would be told to even sit beneath my feet. And the author of James says, but is it not God who has allowed the poor to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the promises? God raises the poor from the dust, and not just the materially poor, but the poor in spirit, the poor in emotion, the ones who are truly in dire need, raising them from the ashes. Now, God does give us free choice. God doesn't raise us up unless we seek God. Oftentimes, we choose poorly, though, and we wonder why things aren't better. Now, that doesn't mean that every time we choose God, we're going to find that God is going to give us what we want or how we want it. But even there, God wishes our best and will lift us up when we need and seek Him. He is not just over heaven and transcendent, somewhere out there. Rather, God is here, imminent among us. He not only watches and listens, but He is also active and guides. But the guidance is given primarily to we who seek Him. The Lord is high and lifted up, but He is with us in good times, in the regular mundane times, and in those times when troubles and temptations surround us and seem ready to overwhelm us. He is so near that He hears our faintest, most feeble whisper, our worst cry, and is there to answer our prayers if we would but seek and listen. This is also the faith that inspired Jesus in everything that He experienced. Persecution and opposition in His life, even by some of His followers, when He was preparing to go to Jerusalem. Even by one who betrayed, and another close one who denied. Even in Gethsemane, and even on the cross, while He said, my God, why have You forgotten Me? He ended with a prayer, Father, into Your hands I commit my spirit. And so it is this kind of faith, this kind of connection with God, which we choose, that allows us to have that confidence that though the Lord is high and lifted up, He also comes where we are. As Oliver Cromwell was approaching his death, he said, is there no one here? And as those around him looked around with questioning looks, he then said, just before his death, is there no one here who will praise God? We find ourselves in need in so many different ways and in so many different times. And yet, it is in the middle of that need and out of that need that true life-changing and life-affirming praise may come, but only if we truly seek to be open to that one who wishes our best and who loves us this much. May we pray. Oh Lord, our God, we come to You recognizing that we have so many needs. Sometimes forgetting that one of the greatest needs that we have is to be more open to You. Help us that our need for a closer relationship with You might be fulfilled in ever greater ways each and every day, so that we might praise You in our need and bring glory and honor to Your kingdom. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn, our hymn of decision, is number 328, "In the Cross of Christ I Glory." As we stand and as we sing, may we think about God who comes to us, who makes Himself low so that He might be there for us and our need. Our altar is open as we stand and as we sing together, number 328, "In the Cross of Christ I Glory."